welcome to RB2. I'm Patrick Gray. In this sponsored podcast, Risky.biz chats with Symantec's Kevin Haley about rogue antivirus applications, and more specifically, how this rogue AV problem can be measured and quantified. How can you know how much money is involved and what can be done to shut down this nasty trade when it's underground?
Yeah, essentially the two-tiered model, that there are the people that are behind the applications themselves, and then they generally have a network of affiliates, people who have signed up to push the software for them. What we found is that generally for affiliates, a beginning affiliate can make between 1 cent and 55 cents for every machine that pays off.
That's a hell of a range, isn't it? I mean, 1 cent to 55 cents is, you know, that's a big difference.
Yeah, absolutely is, and it's really based on region. Find that the English-speaking countries, generally the pay-per-install price is a lot higher. So if you look at the United States, it's probably average on the top end about 55 cents. Australia is about 50 cents. And then it drops rather quickly when you get into countries that speak predominantly other languages. And I think that speaks to the infrastructure is not as well developed to take the money from people in other languages, although we've certainly seen some of this translated or appear in other languages.
Well, I guess that's also the other thing, isn't it? They'd need to come up with the language packs and whatever and actually add in multilingual support for their fake products, which is a bit weird.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in some ways, you can think about what they do is somewhat like a legitimate business in that they have software releases in which they make improvements. Unfortunately, none of those improvements do anything to make the product, make it a real product, make it actually provide security. It's the improvements are just geared towards making them better able to steal your money.
Wouldn't it be funny, though, if they collected a really huge install base and then decided to go legit?
It wouldn't be surprising if some people attempt to do that. The only problem is that once you go legit, you have a lot more attention paid to you, and people start to find out about your shady past. It may not be the best business proposition.
All right. Now, okay, so between 1 cent and 55 cents is what the affiliates get for actually getting you to install this stuff. What about the people who actually develop the software?
Yeah, they can make millions of dollars a year. In fact, there was a company in South Korea in 2008 that was shut down by the South Korean police, and they're alleged to have made about $10 million over the course of 3 years.
That's a fair bit of cash. So that was actually, those were figures put together by the Korean police. Is that correct?
Yes. Those are the Korean police. In another case, the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, which is an organization in the United States, shut one of these guys down, and they figured that they made about $1.9 million through this.
Well, see, that was actually going to be my next line of questioning, which is, you know, how on earth do you attempt to figure out how much these guys are making? I mean, it's very helpful when the SEC or the Korean police have managed to put something together and say, you know, this is what we allege they have earned because we've, you know, subpoenaed their bank accounts and this and that. But as a security vendor sitting back there, it's going to be a little bit difficult without that sort of information to try to put dollar figures on this trade, isn't it?
Yeah, and we don't pretend that we could tell you the dollar amount that's being made. All we can do is observe certain pieces of it and report back on what we're seeing there. So in one particular case, we were able to look at an affiliate network and see what their top earners were making. And one of the ways we can do that is because they actually do promote that information, just kind of like a boiler room sales operation where you list the top salespeople and how much they're making to kind of push the bottom sellers to try harder.
But wouldn't they just bullshit the bottom rung guys and just tell them, yeah, you're going to make millions?
Yeah, that's actually possible as well.
I mean, just like a real boiler room, you know?
Well, we've actually seen some cases where some of the top earners are not actually listed on this board because they don't want to discourage some of the bottom sellers. These guys could easily say, well, geez, I can't make any money here. Maybe I'll go be an affiliate for somebody else.
So it's all about who can spin the most shit to get people to believe them and join their crew. Oh, it's brilliant, isn't it? It's brilliant.
Absolutely.
So okay, you've got the guys down the bottom who are the affiliates who get paid per install. You've got the developers who seem to be taking in a lot of cash. Is there anyone else in between, or is it that simple? Is it just a two-tiered structure like that?
It's essentially a two-tiered structure, but some of the work even then can get outsourced. Say you're creating the application itself, and really all it is a user interface that may have some animation in it that makes it look like it's doing a security scan or that it's actually combining a real virus. And some, it's been known that some of these guys will actually outsource that work to somebody, you know, create me the user interface. And then it's one less thing for me to do.
I think the hardest thing would have been creating that little thing that tells you how long you've got to go and actually making it as unpredictable as a real antivirus product. That's the thing. Make it jump from 72% back to 54 and then up to 82. You know, get one of them. I mean, that's pretty hard to code up, even if you're just coming up with a little weak facade.
So that could be a real tip off that you've got one of these rogue applications. If you see that thing working,
it tells you it's going to be a 10. It tells you it's going to be a 10-minute scan, and it actually takes 10 minutes. So then you know something is sus. Now, look, one of the things that I've always found curious about these guys and the way that they're actually able to operate is, say, I were to go onto one of these websites and buy this antivirus software. I'm supplying them with a credit card. I mean, why on earth? How on earth are these guys getting access to merchant facilities to be able to process these payments? Which banks are taking this money, and why the hell can't we just sue them? Why the hell can't the police come and seize their accounts, the authorities? Why is no one doing anything about this? I mean, with the exception of Microsoft, who are taking some of these companies to court, why are the authorities not doing anything and going after the money? Because there is a lot of it. And when there's a lot of it, you can do something about it.
Right. And in many ways, what these guys are really con artists, because they not only want to con you into buying this bogus product, but they want to convince you that you got your money's worth. So many of them will do things like actually have a customer service department. So you could email, in some cases we've seen where you could phone them up and somebody will answer the phone and say, and you know, try to give you some sort of customer service so that people don't realize they've been took and then they don't complain. So, you know, one of the things we're recommending to people is that they watch their credit cards and that they and that they complain if they feel they've been taken by one of these bogus security software packages, then they should complain to their credit card company and let the credit card company go after them.
Yeah, but why is that not happening yet, Kevin? That's what I don't understand. I mean, we're talking about millions and millions of dollars flowing into the accounts of these guys. Why are the authorities and the industry not doing more to shut them down? Because it would seem that, you know, any underground organization operating with a front that's that brazen is going to be taking money through regular banks, through regular merchant facilities, things like that. Why on earth isn't more being done to take them down? Because it would seem that it would not be tremendously difficult to shut these guys down.
Well, there's a couple of reasons. One, I think is the cases where people don't know that's happened, they don't complain. The other one is where these guys are international in nature and they steal money from people in one country when they're in their payment processing is in another one and they live in a third. And so that can make things more difficult. But finally, these guys also know that they are going to lose their payment processors. And so they try to facilitate it. So if one goes down, they can move to another one pretty quickly, just to make themselves harder to catch.
Yeah, so I guess they'd just sign up to those third-party card processors and stuff, wouldn't they? And say, yeah, we're a software company, we sell AV. And then as soon as they cotton on, they just go to the next guys.
Right, exactly. But you're right, there's a trail, so that's a good thing in terms of being able to catch some of these guys. And if you look like there's one called trafficconverter.biz, and they did get shut down, and that was basically losing their payment processing. So they got the credit card companies came after them, and they pretty much went out of business.
So this actually has happened. This has happened with the financial institutions actually targeting these type of organizations. That has happened in the past.
It has, yes.
What are some other ways that you think this particular brand of bad guys could be shut down? I mean, does Symantec have any views on that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, we think that from a user perspective, of course, to have good security software so that you can find these things and get them removed. But just that, you know, users ought to be suspicious. If it's a security software program they never heard of, if it all of a sudden appears on their machine and they start getting pop-ups that they're infected with viruses, and some program they've never heard of is telling them this, they ought to be awfully suspicious, because this is not legitimate, you know, behavior for real security software.
So you think user education is certainly a big part of this then?
I think it's a, yeah, it, I mean, you have to approach it on, unfortunately, on multiple fronts, and I think user education is a good way as well.
All right, Kevin Haley, thank you very much for taking some time out of your day to discuss Rogue AV here on Risky Business.
My pleasure.